Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have Joey Pontarelli with Restored Ministries. So without further ado, let's get right into it with Joey. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have Joey Pontarelli. Thank you for being here, Joey.
It's my pleasure. I'm honored to be with you, Crystalina. Thanks for having me.
You know, I really related to your ministry, and it is so needed right now. And it is such a blessing for the church, young people, and honestly, not just young, but also old, who have dealt with divorce in their life. If they have been divorced themselves or they came from a family of divorce, this is something that seems to be really prevalent in our society. And I just think your ministry feels that need that is out there right now. So can you explain to all the listeners what Restored Ministries is, what you do, and how you are helping people?
Yeah, absolutely. If it's okay, I'll go back to the beginning, which really started when I was 11 years old. My parents separated and they later got divorced. I remember the day that my mom sent me and my siblings down to break the news that dad would no longer be living with us. In fact, they were getting a divorce. And I remember as an 11-year-old boy, Crystalina, I didn't know what to do with that news. And so I just hid in the closet and I cried. And sitting there in that closet, I remember feeling so abandoned, unwanted, and like I just wasn't good enough. And in the months that followed, and even the years that followed, I acted out in all sorts of ways. I dealt with emotional problems, whether that was loneliness, depression, anxiety, a lot of anger for me. I dealt with bad habits. I fell into pornography. That was kind of my drug of choice to cope with the pain that I was experiencing. And in the years that followed, I dealt with a lot of relationship struggles. If someone would have told me at the time how much my parents' separation and later divorce would impact my own relationships, even my future marriage, I probably wouldn't have believed them, but it certainly played out. Honestly, after my parents separated, I didn't even want to get married. I saw how much pain this all caused, the separation and the divorce. And I was like, I don't want that. If this is where marriage leads, I want nothing to do with that. And then also just doubting that love and marriage can last, that I could build it myself, even if it could last for other people. I dealt with struggling to trust, to be vulnerable. And then when I started dating too, I felt so lost. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Because, you know, more than anyone else, our parents teach us how to love. They teach us about love. They teach us about marriage, about relationships. And if we've seen a broken model, we don't really have the skills and the tools that we need to build a good, healthy marriage. And so dealt with all those issues. Two things really helped though. I heard Jason speak. That was huge. Got pornography out of my life, started to live a pure life. That made things so much better. I also got new friends. The friends I was hanging around with, my sports buddies, weren't good for me. And so I met these new friends who happened to be Catholic, and they were really happy people. And as a young boy, I wanted to be happy. And so I started to be like them. I learned my faith, started to pray, build virtue, all those things. And that helped a ton. But in the years that followed, going into high school, into college, I still felt broken. And so I realized that after sin, the thing that holds us back most from becoming saints, becoming the best version of ourselves, is our untreated brokenness. And so I knew I needed to heal. And so I looked around for some help, a resource, a retreat, something to help me, a young person like me, to heal and grow following the trauma of my parents' separation and divorce. And I was shocked to find nothing. And I was shocked because I looked around, I saw my siblings, how they were struggling. I saw close friends of mine who were going through their parents' divorce. I saw they were struggling, often in serious ways. And then I started reading the research and realizing this is a huge problem that for some reason, no one's talking about, and it's getting even less attention. So these young people are not getting the help that they deserve. And so after studying business at Franciscan University, scaling a company in the business world, I decided to do something about it. And so I started my ministry, like you said, Restored. We help teenagers and young adults from broken families to heal and grow so they can feel whole again, break the cycle of dysfunction, divorce in their own lives, and ultimately to become saints. And the main way we do that is by producing content that makes healing simple so people actually do it.
And your ministry just isn't for young adults or young people. This is affecting the older generations as well. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, absolutely. Our primary audience is teenagers and young adults, because I just feel more equipped to serve that audience. I've been shocked to find that people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond have found our content really helpful, and they're very affected by it. One woman, I think she was in her 60s, she reached out to me and said that she's never heard anyone talk about divorce and how it impacts us, the children, the way she's heard us talk about it on our podcast. And for 60 years, she's been, you know, walking around with this burden, with this brokenness, feeling so alone, feeling like no one can relate. And finally, thankfully, she found us. She listened to the interviews, and she found a lot of help through the ministry, at least knowing that she's not alone and some resources that she can use to heal and grow. So absolutely, it doesn't matter if you're a young person or older, it can affect you in very similar ways. And it's so sad that people are going so many years of their life without getting the help that they deserve.
You know, I think you just said it. So many people are walking around with these wounds and these issues, and they're actually living out of this wound and not even realizing some of them where it came from or why they feel this way, right? And they don't fully understand themselves, which is horrible, because I've gone through that myself. And I honestly didn't think my father not being around was a big deal. And I used to say, he doesn't matter, who cares, you know, growing up. And also, I was so young when it happened. When he left, I was 2, and that kind of, it affected me, but it wasn't this traumatic, my whole world's falling apart, because I didn't really know him being around. I think what affected me more than anything, and some people relate to this, is I didn't have my father figure growing up. I had my grandfather, and I loved him dearly. And he ended up leaving and divorcing my grandmother when she, in her 50s, and it devastated me. It was like I just felt broken and ripped apart, and like everything was changing, my whole world, because I spent so much time there. And I really looked up to him as this role model father figure. And then all of a sudden, boxes are being packed up and he's moving out. And I had to watch my grandma go through all of the trauma of the divorce and being in her older age, having to start over. And she really leaned on me a lot for stuff. And that was hard as well, because I didn't know, as an 11-year-old, had to deal with a lot of the, I was dealing with my own things, you know, and it was through a lot of therapy and counseling that I was able to realize it was in this moment when my grandfather was actually leaving and walking out, I think for one of the last times, of that house that I grew up in with them. As I go over there for Christmases and stuff, you know, your grandparents' house is something special as you grow up, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And when he walked out, I remember telling myself, I will never get married. I will never let a man do this to me. And it's like I made this personal vow to myself that this is, there's no way, I'm not even going to go there. It's not even going to have a chance to do this to me, you know? And so there was a serious wound created there that day that I didn't even realize I was carrying around with me until I started doing all of the therapy that I did do. And I think in the middle of a divorce, would you say, Joey, that the two people are so almost consumed with what's going on with them and how they're feeling and everything that's happening between the couple, that sometimes the kids do get overlooked and they do get kind of pushed aside. And it really becomes about maybe your own wants and your selfish needs, and you want this and you think the grass is greener on the other side. Now, there are really serious circumstances where people do need to get divorced, and serious like physical abuse and just bad things happening. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's something else happening, and kids do get overlooked, and they don't really take into account how this will affect them. Do you see that happening?
All the time. I wish I could say otherwise, but all the time. And like you said, the parents often feel like they're at war with each other. Mm-hmm. And so they're so busy fighting this war that they can't attend to the children. They can't fill the children's needs. They can't look out for them. And that's exactly, Kristalina, how I fell into pornography years ago.
You're a casualty. You're almost a casualty of the war happening, right?
100%. And my parents, their divorce, when they ended up finally getting divorced, it was a 3-year process, which I've told people in the legal world that, and they're like, wow, like 2 years is really long. 3 years is just insane. And so you can imagine just the back and forth, the money wasted, all these different battles that are fought. And in my case, there were police involved in different situations. And it's just such a dramatic and harmful thing to go through. So yeah, the kids often get forgotten. And I will add, often through no intention of the parents on their behalf, right? They're not, I've never met anyone who's gotten divorced in order to hurt their children. It sounds silly, right? But so often parents are unaware of how their actions and their decisions, especially to get a divorce, impact their kids. And you rightly said that there's certain situations where there needs to be some sort of a separation because there's danger, there's abuse, things like that. And we can talk about that if you'd like. But it's sad that so often the kids are being overlooked. And so anything that we say in this interview, I just want to say from the outset to any parents listening who are divorced right now, there's nothing that we're saying that's from a place of spite or judgment or condemnation, but really a desire to help the children, help them heal, help them feel whole again, help them become saints, and ultimately to help them build a better relationship with you as a parent. Because what the research shows, and I've seen again and again with the young people I work with, the relationship between the children and their parents is so damaged through this process, and that has all sorts of effects as well.
Well, I'm sure the trust is just obliterated with the kids, right? To a certain extent. And it's just like everything's changing and everything kind of gets, you have to rebuild almost something completely new when this happens. At least that's what I experienced. And it wasn't even it was my grandparents. So it was a whole kind of different world I kind of went through with them. But today we are talking with Joey Pontarelli on Women Made New for you that are just tuning in right now. And he has an amazing ministry called Restored. And he helps young people and young adults who have come from divorce, or maybe the young adults are going through divorce. You never know. People get married at a young age and they don't know how to navigate through these rough waters. So what is the process if a person comes to you? How do you help them? What do you go through?
Yeah. So we basically want to make healing really simple, like I mentioned before. And so we either build resources or we direct people to resources out there for them. So for example, there's a lot of helpful healing exercises that you can go through. Episode 22 of our podcast is a really simple healing writing exercise that I learned from a psychologist that multiple people have reported to me. It's brought them to tears. It's an exercise where you write to the younger you who was going through, you know, all that trauma. And so we essentially just put out resources that people can use in order to heal and grow. We're building a coaching network of counselors, spiritual directors, and I guess coaches that we trust, that we vet, that we recommend. And so I'm not a psychologist. I don't pretend to be a psychologist, but we can hand people off to those who are qualified to help them. But a lot of our content itself, people have found very helpful. Probably the feedback we've gotten the most is that it's just so validating, Kristalina. It's like I mentioned before, there's people that go through their life feeling like I'm the only one. No one else struggles with this. And by bringing people on the podcast in particular, which has been our most popular offering, and I'd recommend that to anyone who wants to go deeper, they've just realized that, okay, I'm not alone. What I'm going through is actually pretty common. And the way that I feel, the things that I've done, the mistakes that I've made because of what I've been through actually isn't that unusual. It's very validating and honestly be a great step in healing. And like you say a lot, you know, the first step to healing is just facing your brokenness. And for a lot of people, like you said, they're unaware of their brokenness. And so the first step for us is always to bring awareness into their brokenness and to help them see that the struggles that they're dealing with today, those felt pains that they walk around with day to day, are intimately connected with the trauma that they've endured in their life, especially the breakdown of their family. And when they start to see that, then they realize, wow, okay, there's a pattern here. I'm putting these puzzle pieces together. I'm understanding myself better. Then they can pursue healing, which is going to give them the freedom, the happiness, the love that they long for. And ultimately, it's going to help them become a whole, healthy, happy, virtuous, and holy person.
Now, as a man or going into marriage and knowing you had all of these issues, was it hard for you to come to grips with that you needed counseling? Because I know that's very difficult for a lot of people. And I know even for myself is really humiliating. And I didn't want to, because I grew up with my family really looking down on counselors and psychologists. Like, you don't go and talk to someone about your problems. And I mean, you really have mental issues. Yeah. You just don't do that. You just don't talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there in adoration. Jesus just like, go to counseling. I'm like, no, literally no, thank you. You know, and just, like, he always gives you that next step, and he will literally stay there until you either just, okay, well, we'll stay here then, you know,
There's
nowhere else to go. So you have to say yes, but it's a humbling experience because you have to admit you are broken. You don't have it all together. You have issues in your life, and forget everybody else knowing, just having to admit that to yourself and swallow that was hard for me and very humbling, but it was the path and I had to go through. There's no way around. And I tried everything, you know, it just didn't work. So how was that for you?
Yeah, humbling. Like you said, I was kind of forced into counseling when I was younger. I think the court mandated it when my parents were separated, and there, you know, it didn't really help me. I just would show up. I remember being in group counseling, and Kristalina, it's so embarrassing to say, but I was like 11, 12 year old kid. I actually went to anger management. And
I believe you. A lot of 11 year olds probably need to be in anger management. Really? I'm serious. Yeah. What's going on right now? Poor things. It's, yeah. I believe you. I believe it.
So I was kind of forced into it. And, you know, in time, I started to see the value in it more. And over the years, I, instead of, you know, being told that I need to go to counseling, I started to pursue it on my own. And when I was at Franciscan University, there's a counseling program there. And so they make it really affordable for students. And so I was, I think it went like $5 or $10 a session. It was awesome. And so I was able to make a lot of headway with my counselor there. I remember my emotions, Kristalina, were all over the place. And I was just up and down and just realizing like, I need help. I feel so broken. I was in a relationship at the time and it was coming out in my relationship and affecting my discernment of marriage and all that stuff. So knew I needed help, went to a year and a half of counseling there. I've done counseling since then. Overall, I've done probably about 6-7 years of counseling, and it's really helped. And my wife and I have done marriage counseling when we've needed it in our marriage. So, but to answer your question of coming into marriage and then needing counseling as well, it is a humbling thing. So I think one of the ingredients to healing, any sort of healing, is humility, is really seeing yourself as you are, no better, no worse, as you are. And it's only when we kind of admit that and come to that realization, then we can grow, heal, and get better. And counseling, going to a competent counselor, and I emphasize the word competent, you need to find a good one, can be incredibly helpful because they're trained in how to heal. Not just on this like phony healing self-help level, but really, if they're a good one, they have a deep science background to where they can look at your brain and see, okay, the way that you're acting out in this way or that way is because of what you've been through. And there's certain things that we can do to help you overcome that so that you no longer struggle with that issue. Or perhaps you're able to manage it really well.
See, and that's the thing. People are just managing and not dealing. They're kind of coping with it, right? And I used to do that 100%. Especially in high school, because and one thing that you said that is very similar to me is that we learned at a very young age that love did not last, right? And that's the lie that we fed ourselves. It just doesn't last. It's not a forever thing. And it affected everything. And so many people have that belief that, well, love doesn't last. And they think they can just go into marriage without dealing with these huge wounds that they're operating out of. And frankly, that the evil one has a lot of control there in that wound. That's where you're broken. And that's where I think a lot of vices stem from. Right. And I'm coming from my own experience. Either just like not wanting to deal with it or think about it or having anger from it. And so you act out on those things, right? And you do things because you want to numb it and you want to forget it. So that's what I mean by the evil one kind of has control, because vices just kind of root out of that, you know, and they're in there. It's horrible. And so it's like one thing leads to another, and it's something that has to be dealt with. But the more that you heal those wounds, the devil's got to go. The vices have to go. The more you get closer to the light of Jesus and the Eucharist and the sacraments, he's got to go, because he cannot stand the light. And the more Jesus can operate in our lives and really transform you to become everything he's created you to be, because everybody has a purpose and a plan, but wounds and unhealed issues of our past really are stumbling blocks. And you can only go so far until it's like, well, okay, now we got to deal with this. And Jesus will literally give you the tools to conquer or break down the wall that's in front of you, right? He'll never ask us to do anything unless, one, our will is in it, our obedience is in it, and we comply with the Holy Spirit of what he's asking. And that's not always easy. Sometimes I want to run in the opposite direction back to my old ways and forget this. Like, what's the point? But it's like, you really have to commit. Wouldn't you say, if you start a healing process like this, just know that one, there's going to be battles. Two, is it going to get ugly? Are you going to be dealing with wounds? Absolutely. Is Jesus going to be by your side 100% and give you everything you need? You better believe it. And he is going to be a warrior for you in the times that you can't even carry yourself. That's at least what I experienced.
Oh, I couldn't agree more with you. And God can heal you in ways that you cannot heal yourself. All the self-help stuff, not all of it, a lot of it can be good. There's some really weird stuff out there when it comes to self-help, but a lot of it can be good, but it only goes so far. You're going to hit a ceiling at some point, and that's where you need God to heal you. And it's a lot easier if you just go to him right away too. And I love the way that you approach it, Crystalina. You approach it from a spiritual point of view as well as a human point of view. And I think we need both. If we just appoint it from, you know, the human point of view, that's popular psychology. It only go so far. If we just go from a spiritual point of view, we might be trying to heal ourselves by praying rosaries and going to confession, which can be healing, but it's often not the whole picture. And so we need both. We need the human, we need the spiritual. And one of the functions of grace in our souls is to help us do good and avoid evil, right? That grace is God's life in us and helps us do good and avoid evil. And so, like you said, if we're struggling with certain vices because of our brokenness, which I've seen is like almost always the case, then we need to go to God. We need to ask him to heal that. And one of the meditations that helps me a little bit is just imagining Jesus at the door of my heart, just knocking. Him wanting to come in and heal me. And the first step is we just need to open the door. That can be scary, it can be hard, but just let him in. Once he's in, we need to let him see our brokenness. So often we want to show him all the shiny, all the good, all the accomplishments, everything that's good about us that we want everyone else to see, but not the dark, rotten parts of our heart. But we need to let him in there. Like a good surgeon, we need to let him see the wound in order to heal it. And then finally, we need to let him do his work. We need to let him heal it. And C.S. Lewis said something along the lines of, until you get to a point where you can't go on. Like you realize that you cannot do it yourself. Until you get to that point, you don't really learn dependence on God. But when you get to that point, you come to realize, like, I literally cannot do this on my own. Like, this is unsustainable. And perhaps people listening right now are feeling that way. Maybe you're in so much pain, you're struggling in so many ways that you realize, I just can't go on. That's when you need to turn to Jesus. Hopefully before then, but especially now, turn to Jesus. Let him in. Let him see your brokenness. Let him heal you instead of just trying to deal with it on your own, which so often just leads to more and more misery.
Right. And there are people listening right now thinking, well, my parents got divorced or I got divorced and they're saying to themselves, well, it really didn't affect me. And I would say, I beg to differ. You know, yeah. I would maybe go to adoration or just pray into that, because really look at your life. And I really had to look at my life in a lot of different ways of where was the brokenness coming out on, and what things weren't functioning properly in my life, in relationships or work or a vocation. There, it always comes out in some way and rears its ugly head in some way, shape or form. And you may not recognize it, but it just might be there. And I know that in the times that it was the hardest for me to just keep going and just face a lot of the things I had to face in my past, and not even just divorce, there were so many other things that came up in counseling. And I thank God every day he had mercy on me. It was so patient with me, you know, and God like kept pushing and pushing, because the things that came up in counseling, I made so much sense to myself in that moment of things that were brought up, and it was powerful, and God was able to right order a lot in me. Now, am I perfectly healed? Absolutely not. No, that is a process, but I'm definitely not what I was and have all of those wounds. And I think we forget the victories that we have had in our past, especially if you come from a broken family and it has severely affected you in your life. Just don't forget the victories that you have had with God and the things that you have overcome, because we are overcomers. If anything, we are overcomers, right?
Amen. Amen.
And we're strong because of it, with the grace of God. But don't forget where you've come from and who you are now because of it. Because if anything, you are stronger, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And to anyone who feels like they weren't affected by their parents' divorce, I just want to say everyone is affected a little bit differently. One of the leading researchers on this topic actually found that the full effects from your parents' divorce actually aren't experienced until adulthood, so about college age. And then they start to come out more. And I've spoken with so many people who went through years of their life thinking like, oh no, I'm fine. It didn't affect me. Mm-hmm. Things are for the best, whatever. And then all of a sudden they start breaking down. There was one woman who she was on a mission trip in Central America as a nurse, and she just like started freezing up and just started really struggling, like emotionally feeling so down and anxious and all these sorts of things. And she was like, what is going on with me? Eventually she realized this all stems from the breakdown of my family. I've heard stories of other people. One of my team members, actually, Miranda, she's exceptional. She's the writer for Matthew Kelly. She's an exceptional woman. And she didn't realize this until she went to counseling as basically like a college student a little after college. So early 20s, she was just struggling a lot in her relationships and dealing with other issues like emotional issues. And she didn't realize until the counselor challenged her on it. He said, you know, what do you think this, all of this that you're struggling with might have to do with your parents' divorce and the breakdown of your family? And it just hit her over the head. It was like, wow, this is totally related. She just never connected the dots. So often we need to connect those dots for people who, you know, are struggling in everyday life. They just don't think that, oh, this comes from my broken family, either directly or indirectly. So I think that's really important to connect those dots. And maybe you come from a background too, where your parents did a really good job, even through the divorce, to just love you and to parent you well. They can really mitigate a lot of those negative effects. There's a lot of research that shows that. There's a study in Turkey of high school students, and what they found, or hundreds of high school students, what they found of those hundreds of high school students that came from a divorced family is if they had a good relationship with mom or dad or both, they were much less likely to suffer from depression, anxiety, and loneliness. So it does affect everyone differently, but I agree with you, Kristalina, saying that it always, almost always affects us because it is a very real trauma, and trauma has very real effects on us.
Absolutely. Again, we are talking with Joey Pontarelli, and he runs Restored Ministries. We are going to take a quick break with our friends at EWTN, and we will be right back. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Evert. Thank you for joining me. I am here with Joey Pontarelli, and we are discussing his ministry, Restored. And can you just give a quick rundown of what your ministry is for those that just tuned in?
Absolutely. We help teenagers and young adults from broken families, meaning the parents are separated, they're divorced, or maybe there's just a lot of dysfunction at home. We help those young people to heal and grow so they can feel whole again. They can break the cycle of dysfunction, divorce, and their own relationships and lives, and ultimately they can become saints. And the main way we do that is by producing content that makes healing simple so they actually do it. And we have a podcast, books, stuff like that.
It just kind of gives them a place that they probably feel understood. Because I know what it was like going through a healing process, and I needed very specific things, but I wanted them to be sound and Catholic based. And it was terrible trying to sift through the good and the bad. And that's exactly what you don't need, is when you're so broken, you're so open, you're so willing to do this. And then you find these challenges of just trying to find things that are going to be good for you. So it's good you have this one-stop shop for people that have experienced this, and that they could just come and just start that healing process. And I know for me that the Eucharist was everything. I couldn't have done this without Jesus and the sacraments and Mother Church. It's just, there really is a healing process that you can go through with the church and with your Catholic faith and with the sacraments and with Jesus himself and adoration. Because I would go to my counseling sessions, and then I would go to adoration always right after. Mm. And I would just dump, because you open yourself up so much in there. And there were such intense things I had to face. I would just sit in the back of adoration. Sometimes I would just bawl and I would cry. And sometimes I would journal. Sometimes I would just listen or pray. But it was such a time of deep, intense healing for me with Jesus and just letting him in and do what needed to be done, which is hard.
So good.
And there is a time where I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And I was in prayer, and I realized that our obedience to the process and everything that God asks us to do, even on a daily basis, is huge. And it's everything. Because if God has put something on your heart in that small, still voice of knowing you need to do something, he's asking you, and we're just like, oh, later, or maybe later, you know, and I say this all the time, like the God of heaven and earth is asking you and taking the time to put something on your heart. Oh my goodness, we need to just get off our butt and go do it. It's ridiculous. Like, who am I to say later, God, just sit tight later. Okay. Yeah. First of all, but our obedience is everything. And yes, Jesus died on the cross and the cross saved us. But I truly believe it was his willingness to be obedient to go die on that cross, or it wouldn't have happened. Right. And then also the humility to have to do what God's asking us to do sometimes is not always easy, but it always will be what's best. And I had this like thought of this sword. On one side of the sword, it was like your obedience. On the other side was humility. And you wield it with your will. You can wield the weapon. You can use the weapon that God wants to give you. You have to use your will to do that. And so with humility, obedience, and engaging and handing kind of your will over to God, he really can do unbelievable things with you and heal you in ways like you said you can't imagine. And then the fruit, Joey, that comes from that, because look at your ministry alone and what you've done, and that is the fruit of your suffering, right? And you're able to help other people, and it all came from your humility, that obedience to say yes, and then using your will to engage in God's will in your life. And look what's come of it. So yes, is it hard? Yes, is it horrible? You know what? But we're following Jesus, and my goodness, nothing was easy, and it's not going to be easy. And I don't know. I think that's another lie from the devil that he feeds Catholics and people that follow God. Mm. Is that it's too hard. It shouldn't be this hard, right?
Yeah.
And then also he's just not creative. You're the only one. Like, how many people have heard that? How many people have said to you, I felt like I was the only one? And if you ever hear that, just know you're not. And the devil is probably really messing with you in your life then. And you better address whatever it is you think you're the only one in, because you're not, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a thing. That is a serious thing. So one thing I want to address and talk to you about, and one thing I experienced, and I don't know if you did the same, is when I got married and I walked down that aisle, I really thought I was leaving all my past behind, right? All the baggage, everything out those church doors. And I was starting this new life, which I was, but I brought all the baggage with me, and you can only stuff your stuff for so long.
Yeah.
And I just assumed I would have what I needed in marriage, because I promised myself, okay, if I'm going to get married, it's going to be different. It will be. I will not be like my parents, my grandparents, whatever. It's going to be different for me. And I sit here, and people that are saying that to themselves, and maybe you said that to yourself, I know I did.
Yeah.
What gives us the right to even think that we can make it different? Because all the tools that are in our little tool shed that we've grown up with, and things that have been handed down to us, and things that have been taught, we basically have the wrong tools in order to have that healthy, good marriage. Because we've never I didn't see it. I wasn't taught it. And it was very difficult. And so there's a lot of false assumptions I think people have that they're just going to be able to, but it's like, well, why? Why are you going to be able to? What makes you different from your family, because you don't have what you need, right? Does that
absolutely
make sense? Did you experience that?
Absolutely. In fact, since then I've read research on marriage that shows that one of the ingredients to a healthy, happy marriage is realistic expectations, healthy expectations. And I think people like us are especially prone to having unhealthy expectations. We either run in one direction or the other, thinking that marriage is so horrible it always ends, that we run from it, or at least we don't commit, right? We might sleep around, we might do all these sorts of things, but we're terrified underneath all of that, and so we don't go to marriage. That's on one hand. On the other hand, we might want so desperately the opposite of what we saw in our own family and our own parents' marriage that we think marriage will be somewhat of a fairy tale. We don't put it in those words, but to illustrate this point, there's this phenomenon called the Paris syndrome. Have you ever heard of that? The Paris syndrome? It's fascinating. So this is where when tourists go to Paris, France, they experience extreme shock, disappointment, and other problems. It sounds like a joke, but I kid you not, this is a real issue. It's been documented by medical journals. And so basically what's going on here is that these tourists, who went to Paris, France, they had such a romantic expectation of how Paris would be that when they got on the ground and they saw the messy reality, they were overwhelmed and it caused all these sorts of issues. The same thing happens within marriage. When we go in and think that, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be beautiful. We're not going to struggle at all. We're going to never fight. We're going to get along. Then
we're so in love. We will work it out. It'll be fine. You know, and yeah. And also coming from a divorced family like me and then like Jason, yeah. where all of his family members are pretty much all married and his parents and mm-hmm. his grandparents. And I mean, it goes on and on. And here I am, it's nothing but divorce, you know, it's trail of yeah. divorce. So they're just two completely different backgrounds meshing together. And whoa, it's like you have one way of thinking that the other person has another way of thinking. And if you really don't talk and discuss those things, it can cause problems.
Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest expectations that I had going into answer your question directly is I thought that, you know, marriage would bring about this happiness, that it would bring about almost like personal fulfillment. But what I realized is that the purpose of marriage is not happiness. The purpose of marriage is holiness. You know, nowhere in the wedding vows is happiness promised. And it sounds super unromantic to say that, but it's true. And so that doesn't mean happiness. It doesn't mean there's no place for happiness within marriage. It's certainly a good and beautiful thing to make your spouse happy. But what I've seen, Crystalina, is underneath almost every divorce is this unconscious belief that my spouse will make me perfectly happy. And when he doesn't, we tend to think, huh, maybe I picked the wrong vocation. Maybe I chose the wrong spouse. Maybe I'll leave. And people are often tempted to actually walk away from their vocation because they're not personally fulfilled. And so Fulton Sheen wrote about this a lot. And so it's important that we remember the purpose of marriage is holiness. It's meant to make us into saints. And of course, to bring about children and form them well. But that can certainly be a really bad expectation if you're going into marriage expecting to be happy all the time. Again, there is happiness within marriage. I'm not saying that it's going to be miserable, but it will be challenging. It will be joyful. It will be frustrating. It will be beautiful, just like life. Like one question I often ask myself is, why do we expect marriage to be so different than life?
Right? These false expectation Hollywood feeds us growing up. And we're like, yeah. that's yeah. how it's going to be. It's just like, no. You know, and I think we're just set up for failure to a certain extent. And we set up ourselves for failure. And for those of you that maybe are engaged or aren't married yet, but you want to get married, do yourself a favor and deal with this now. So you're not in marriage and you don't have to go through the things that we're discussing, but just deal with it beforehand. It is a gift you can give your future spouse and your future children that you're not actually bringing this in to your marriage, because just because you want it doesn't mean you have it. Now, can you strive for it? Can you get the tools you need? Can you heal that brokenness? Absolutely. And you can be this unbelievable force for God within your marriage, within your children's lives, in your community. But almost keeping that handicap of having that wound is only going to affect everybody in a negative way, right?
Absolutely. And I wanted to go back to something you said before, which goes along with everything you just said, where we often feel like we have everything under control or we want to deal with it on our own. Again, one of the principles of healing is that we need to rely on other people, right? We need to go to counseling. We need to go to God. We need to open up to our friends, get their support and so on. And so what I've realized, a clear pattern that's come out in the dozens of interviews I've done with people who come from broken families is that we often have this fierce independence. I know I experienced that. I struggle with that to this day. And that has impacted my own marriage where I think I'm like, oh, I'm good on my own. I don't really need anyone else to help me. And so that fierce independence also plays into our relationship with God. Like you said, we can't heal on our own. We need to go to Jesus. But so often, especially for people who come from broken families, there's these very real barriers. And one of the barriers I dealt with was I felt like God wasn't there when I needed him the most. Mm-hmm. And I remember in prayer, through lots of prayer, I would ask him, you know, I'd say, God, where were you? Where were you when I needed you the most? Where were you when that 11-year-old Joey was sitting in the closet crying? Just destroyed by the breakdown of his family. Where were you? Because honestly, I felt like, you know, I was on the field getting my teeth kicked in and God was just sitting there on the sidelines watching. I was like, where were you? And so again, through lots of prayer, through adoration, I realized he was actually right there with me in the midst of the brokenness. He was right there with that 11-year-old Joey sitting in the closet crying with me too, saying, I don't want this to happen. I don't want this to happen. This is not meant to be, but has to be this way right now because I respect human freedom that much. And so what I realized is that sometimes God's only response to our pain is his presence. Father Mike Schmidt said that. I think it's so true. And so in the midst of those moments, we need to take all of those barriers to God. Like all of you listening right now, please, like if you think that you can handle it on your own, if you're seriously struggling in your relationship with God, talk to him about it. Don't go on years and years and years letting your relationship with God just become this distant thing. Go to him, talk to him about that. Get a good spiritual director and work through some of those issues because he's the one who can heal you, but he can't heal you unless we ask him.
Right? It is, there's our will engaging in it. And that's what can be so difficult sometimes because we're stubborn and that independence that we want to protect ourselves from getting hurt really does almost sever that relationship from God. And I found that in my own life because I was just, I'm independent. No one's going to hurt me. I'll take care of myself. But yeah. You really do also exclude God from that. And I didn't mean to. It just kind of goes with the territory, right?
100%. And that's again, a clear trend we've seen with a lot of people. In fact, I had a young man reach out to me. He's actually in the Marine Corps. And he said, Joey, he's like, I don't believe in God, probably because everything that's gone on with my family. And, you know, it just hit me that, yeah, there's a lot of people who are running away from faith. They're running away from the church because of everything that has happened in their families. And for some reason, we're not talking about this. Like, we need to talk about this. And that's why I'm so happy to be here with you. And Kristalina, you get this. And I think there needs to be more conversations on this.
Again, we are talking with Joey Pontarelli, and he has a ministry called Restored. And it really addresses people that have experienced divorce in their own lives. And for those of you that maybe are going through a divorce right now, do you have any tips for them? I know that's probably like an off the cuff question for you.
No, maybe it's a good one.
What would you say to those people that are thinking about it, maybe going through it, and what can they do to help their children in the process?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great question. And for anyone going through this right now, focusing on the marriage first, and then we'll talk about the children. So when it comes to the marriage, I would say, you know, if you're in a situation where there's violence, where there's abuse, where there's maybe even the threat of death, please get to safety. This should go without saying, but it's important that we're clear on that. There's nothing, the church doesn't teach that you need to stay in dangerous situations. What ends up happening with the marriage, of course, can be a separate question, which we can talk about a little bit if you want to, but get to safety. Now, if you're in a situation where there's struggles within your marriage and maybe you're tempted to give up because it's just hard. Again, not abuse, not violence, not the threat of death or anything like that. I'm going to challenge you here. Fight for your marriage. The world will tell you it's too hard. Go be happy. Go find someone new. Please don't do that. You know, if you have a valid marriage, if you have committed to your spouse, especially if you have kids, fight for your marriage. There's some great resources out there to help you. One I'll just mention is the Alexander House, Greg and Julie Alexander. Their marriage was a disaster. They both were cheating on each other. They were pursuing a divorce. When a priest challenged them to realize, well, you know, what did God have in mind when he invented this thing called marriage? And so by discovering that, their love was rekindled. There was a lot of forgiveness, obviously a long path of healing, but now they help other couples. And I kid you not, Kristalina, over 20 years, they've helped 5,000 couples. Their success rate at healing the marriages and keeping the family together is 98%. Which is amazing. So go to them. They're better than a lot of counselors, to be honest with you. So go to them. They're the Alexander House. You can Google them. They've become friends and they have a great book called Marriage 911. I recommend starting with that. Their story is just so, so inspiring. So again, in your marriage, don't listen to the culture. Fight for your marriage. If there's abuse, if there's an extreme situation, get to safety. When it comes to the kids, so there's so much here that can be said, but I would just say, don't sugarcoat what you're going through. So often when a parent's getting divorced, people will say things like, well, it's for the best and everyone's happier. Now you have two homes and twice as many Christmas presents. Please don't say that. The reason that's so harmful for us as the children is because so often, even if we don't talk about it or not, which we normally don't talk about it because we don't want to hurt our parents, we're going through a lot. We're hurting. And when people say things like that, we tend to think, maybe something's wrong with me. Everyone's acting like this is a good, fine thing, yet I'm hurting and struggling. And so maybe there's just something wrong with me. And then on a deeper level, we tend not to trust those people. So if you want to have a good relationship with your kids, don't do that, because they'll tend not to trust you. They'll go to other people, because people who say those things clearly don't understand how painful and difficult it can be to go through your parents' divorce. So don't sugarcoat. Talk to your kids about it. You might not be the one as the parent who they want to confide in, but you know, get them a good mentor, get them a counselor, get them someone who they could talk to about it, because there's been studies that have shown that the more clearly children can talk about and articulate what they're going through, the better it is for them, the more quickly they'll heal. And so what often happens, again, is the kids are forgotten. They deal with all these struggles. They act out in all sorts of ways, like Crystalline and I did in our past. And they end up just with this trail of brokenness, which can be avoided if they, again, have a good relationship with mom and dad. They're talking about the issues that they're going through. They're getting the love and the support that they deserve. And so I had humbly recommend to my ministry, because we literally exist for your kids. So go to restoredministry.com. Again, restoredministry, singular.com. And you can find our podcast. You can find a book that I wrote and all the other resources to help them heal and grow and deal with everything that they've been through.
Now, if someone is like, oh, maybe I should finally just face this, or, oh, I know I need to go, and they're kind of scared, or what are maybe just three things that they can do today that would help them?
Yeah, yeah. And is this more the spouses or the kids? Sorry, I just wanted to clarify.
Not spouses or kids, more just, I would say general, anyone listening to this right now know they have wounds and they need healing and they've been avoiding it.
Yeah.
What are three things that they can do today to help themselves?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. The first thing I would say, as you, Crystalline, say so well, is just face your brokenness. There needs to be an awareness before you can heal. Imagine you have a, you know, you go to the emergency room with a painful arm. You're not going to be able to fix the painful arm until you realize what exactly is wrong with it. Is it a stress fracture? Is it broken clean through? Whatever. We need to first diagnose and understand what the brokenness is that we're dealing with before we can actually heal it. So I'd say first, go ahead and face your brokenness, get a deep understanding of it. And then the second thing I would say is pursue your own healing. Like, look around for resources. My ministry is just one that exists to help people heal and grow. We bring really practical tools that you can use. One of them is counseling, but there's also other tools. There's a researcher at the University of Texas at Austin who's been studying this for 40 years. His name's Professor James Penbaker, and he has these writing exercises. They're not exactly journaling. It's a little bit different. But he has these writing exercises where you write for 20 minutes a day for 4 days in a row about emotionally difficult events in your life. And the people who go through these writing exercises, they're happier, they're healthier, they're less depressed, less anxious, they have better relationships, more success at work, like all these things. There's really practical things out there that you can do to pursue your own healing. And then the third thing I would just say is don't do it alone. Bring people along with you. Open up to a friend, you know, whether it's maybe you've gone through abuse in your life, or maybe your family broke apart and it really impacted you. Find people who you could talk to about that, not to rely on in an unhealthy way or anything like that, but to have a mature, healthy relationship where you're showing them, hey, I'm broken. You know, I'm pursuing my healing, but I need you to love me through this. And that in itself can be so healing, because we need people to see us. And vulnerability in itself, when it's received well, of course, and done in a healthy way, is extremely healing. So go along with people who can love you and support you through it all.
Excellent. And I want to add a fourth one to that.
Please.
Today is Saturday, everybody, and there is confession all over the country at most churches this afternoon. And there is nothing more important than being right with God right now and to go to bed at peace. And by doing that, also, you'll be able to hear his voice more clearly. Once you do go to confession, you don't have all that yuck built up, right? Spiritually. And this afternoon, It's go time. It's starting point A right there. So beautiful. I just want to add that. And some people haven't been to confession in a really long time. And just know I'll be praying for you today, and just to have the courage to go face whatever it is you need to face and go to confession and just start new and just start today and just be able to deal with the things of life grace-filled. because it will make it all the more easier if you do so. So, Joey, where can people find you if they want more information about you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Restored, like social media, things like that.
Yeah. So our handle is @RestoredHelp. And then our website, like I mentioned, is restoredministry.com. On there, you can find our book. It's called It's Not Your Fault, A Practical Guide to Navigating the Pain and Problems from Your Parents' Divorce. It features 33 questions and answers on the most pressing challenges that we've identified that are faced by teenagers and young adults from broken families, but also people older than that. We give away the first chapters for free. So if you want to download those on our website, you can. And then the other thing I would offer too is our podcast. On it, we feature stories and expert interviews that offer really practical advice on how to heal from the trauma of your parents' separation, divorce, or broken family. Again, so you can feel whole again and break the cycle of dysfunction, divorce in your own life. And I would recommend starting with episode 8. It's a great podcast, incredible guest. Kristalina was just one of our guests too. So you hear her story and her interview, and just a lot of great resources that we're either building or referring you to. So definitely check it out at restoredministry.com.
And are there any specific prayers or saints or a saint that you pray to that that dealt with this type of thing?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked this. So Pier Giorgio Frassati, a lot of people don't know this, but I learned this from the priest who worked on his cause for beatification. Pier Giorgio's parents had a really rough marriage. There's a lot of turmoil in their marriage. In fact, they were thinking about getting divorced. And what ended up happening at one point, his Pier Giorgio told one of his friends, he said, "I would gladly give my life if my parents stayed together." And then a few months later, he died. And his parents stayed together, at least for a time. And so it gives me the chills when I tell that story. It's just so beautiful. And so I pray to him. He's one of our patrons, Pier Giorgio Frassati. I also pray to St. John Paul the Great, because he was such a proponent for marriage and family. He saw how, you know, marriage and family is a building block of all of society. And so if we get that right, then we're going to start to fix and heal the rest of our culture, to bring our culture back to God, to create a culture, a Catholic culture, where the human person flourishes and souls are saved. And there's nothing more important than that. So those two, Pier Giorgio and St. John Paul II, are our patrons.
And a lot of people don't know that Mother Angelica came from a broken family. And regardless of the brokenness that she came from, God still used her in great, unbelievable ways. So it really doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, or what's happened in your life. All that matters right now, everyone, is where you go from here. So thank you, Joey, so much for being here. This has been wonderful and such an honor. And I really appreciate everything that you are doing for the church and everyone out there that has experienced divorce just like you and I.
My pleasure. It's Christina. Thank you so much. And thanks for all the work you've done. It's greatly impacted my own life. And I certainly wouldn't be here unless you and Jason had the ministry that you do. So thank you so much.
I want to thank my guest, Joey Pontarelli, for being here. And for those of you that may not know, you can save the date because EWTN is coming to my backyard of Arizona for the family celebration. And I haven't actually been to one, so I am incredibly excited, and I would love to meet you and all my listeners out there. It's Saturday, October 1st, and it's going to be on St. Therese Feast Day, and she is definitely my saint. And the theme is Confidence Works Miracles, and isn't that so true, especially for what Mother Angelica did for this network of EWTN, and just her faith was unbelievable in what God was asking her to do. So come join us, be a part of this family, and you are listeners, and that makes you part of this family. You have an entire family here at EWTN, and know that we pray for you, we'd love to see you, and I especially would love to meet you, my listener. So come and join us. You can find all that wonderful information on EWTN.com. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, everyone, and I look forward to being with you next weekend. God bless.